Jack Summers.
Hi, Matt. Good morning.
Hey, Jack.
Last night, there was some talk on the broadcast considering maybe whether Francoff was tipping pitches. Do you think that that was a factor? It seemed like he was getting attacked a lot on the first pitch.
It's definitely something that's in my mind throughout a game with no matter who's pitching. We have definitely probably spent more time with Seth on eliminating any tip. Jeff Gardner's been scouring video to try to find something. That's something Torrey's always looking for. I'm always looking for. So there's a possibility. I think with this changeup, sometimes it's a different look, but he's working hard to figure it out. He's becoming more inconsistent with it, which is a good sign. I see Wainwright out there doing different things with his glove, and I think I got him. And then he does something else, and I don't have him. So ultimately, it's a possibility. I listen, it's a pretty good lineup. So I don't want to take anything away from the Cardinals lineup. They jumped on him. A lot of early action, first pitch hits, first pitch damage. But it's something definitely to answer your question, that it's something that I'm always looking for. We're always looking for, and it's a possibility. I'm not saying in my mind that, who knows? Like, if he made better pitches, they would have maybe gone to people instead of finding holes. But it's a possibility. But again, I'm not blaming his outing on that.
Steve Gilbert.
Hey Matt, thanks for coming in this morning.
Hey, Steve.
Just wondering what you're seeing out of Bum these last couple outings.
Yeah, so obviously the stretch he went on was incredible. A five game stretch was incredible. And I'm not seeing, oh, I'm seeing Velo continue to climb. I mean, he's hitting more 93s now. Again, with Bum, when he's not lights out, it's typically because he's not commanding the ball perfectly. And that's it. I mean, the shapes of his pitches are the same. The velos continues to climb. It's just, and he's not a tipper. I mean, that's not something that he's ever had a problem with. He does the same thing. He just wasn't commanding the ball perfectly the last two games. I have no doubts that he's going to be fine. I mean, that first inning was pretty uncharacteristic of for him, just kind of hitting the backstop, things like that. But I really have no concerns with Bum.
Evan Thompson.
Hi, Matt. This is a philosophy question for you. Peter Gammons released an article a couple days ago talking about how pitchers are throwing harder than ever, but their control is down. And he said that hit batsmen have gone up alarmingly over the past 4 years. So he suggested maybe pitchers are overthrowing. Well, what do you think about that? And what do you think about the viability of the strategy of having pitchers back off?
Yeah, I don't think that's going to happen. I think the pitching industry is driven on velo. I think that's what we're instilling in our kids. We're telling, if you throw harder, you can get a college scholarship. You throw harder, you'll get drafted. It's harder to get drafted nowadays because there's less rounds. It's more of a narrow path. And I think the industry thinks that velo is the ticket. So I don't necessarily think we can say, hey, listen, don't, try not to throw as hard and command the ball. All we do is stress command over stuff, 100% every day of the week. That's what we are always stressing, because at this level, that's what separates people. The best pitchers throw more strikes. They throw more quality strikes. Sure, relievers have a little more, I guess, wiggle room with command. They come in and blow it out with two pitches. But ultimately, listen, guys are throwing harder and it's cool. Maybe injuries are up for that. Because of that, I don't know. It's a possibility. But in terms I don't know, maybe telling someone to tone it down. My thing with guys is throw as hard as you can. If you can throw as hard as you can control the baseball. So if your max effort is 100% you command the baseball, do that. If it's 90% you command the baseball, do that. But I mean, if I tell a kid that, you know, try not to throw as hard so you command it, they'll listen. But I don't, I really don't think, I still think industry wide, velo is king. And maybe, you know, I may not agree with that, but that's, I think that's what we're dealing with.
Hey, Hergy, good morning. Thanks for doing this.
Absolutely.
Given the nature of working in what I guess are 24-hour segments with the starting pitching, what impact do you think that's had on the staff as a whole, and how have you managed that?
Well, I don't know, I totally understand what you're asking me. Like
Torrey said, basically we're going one day at a time. It's a lot of TBA, TBA. You never know who's going to pitch the next day. Like, how have you dealt with that as a coach, and how has the staff reacted?
Well, the one thing I always try to do is be as upfront, honest as I possibly can with guys. And I tell them, listen, here's situations that we're mulling through, we're thinking about, we're discussing, and this is what they are, and be flexible. I mean, that's the one thing I've been telling these guys a lot lately. Listen, anything can happen, be flexible, subject to change, all these things. And they've been great about it. If I have an idea about, you know, two or three scenarios, I'll tell them what they are. And that's all I wanted as a player, is to just, I want honesty. Just tell me, I can deal with it. So that's what we're doing. Like, for example, Caleb Smith, who we're thinking about putting in the rotation, I let him know that just because I want them to be able to prepare, throw their bullpens, get their mind right for that. So that's how I go about it. It is what it is. I mean, I worked with the Dodgers in AAA for 7 years, and that was, you know, every day in Oklahoma City. It was, we have no idea who's pitching today. And I would tell guys, listen, when you come in every day, be ready for anything. I mean, Bud Black says it best. Be ready for anything. Be prepared for anything. Because if you get your mindset on one thing and it doesn't happen, you'll be disappointed. It could affect you. But, Bert, it's okay. Like, we're not playing well. And we're trying to do everything we can to right the ship. And, shoot, if I got a deal, you know, if I come in today and they say someone else is starting, or if we discuss that, I'll immediately go to the player and say, this is what we're doing. And I really don't give them any room to complain. That we don't have those kind of players anyway. They know what's going on. Everyone, you know, in the bullpen would love to start, except for some guys who've done it forever in the back end of the bullpen. But you want to start or you want to be a closer, and that's it. And we know that. Caleb Smith's been dying to start again. He's in the mix for sure. But it's okay. Like, it's not distracting us. I'll just put it that way, if that makes sense.
Sure. Just a quick follow-up, Matt. Given that and given those crazy circumstances, how has sort of the steadiness of Merrill Kelly helped solidify that? I mean, he's the one guy, really, that every 5 days he's there for you.
Oh, man, Mertz, he's awesome. I mean, this dude is – you're right. He's steady. He's steady, Eddie. You know what you're going to get. He's a great worker. He's consistent with everything he does, and he's really reliable. And I think we know when it's his turn, we know what we're going to get. And you'll get a night like in LA where he punched out 12 in a really good lineup. He's going to throw strikes. He's going to mix his pitches. He's an absolute luxury to have on a staff.
Thanks, Matt.
Nick Cora.
Hey, RG, where do you kind of fall on the, with Caleb, like the, you know, he's obviously found a role he like, or that has worked well for him. He doesn't like it, but, you know, where do you find yourself on that balance?
Yeah. So he's been great in this role. I think he's comfortable in it in a way. He wants to start, and truthfully, I believe he's earned it. I believe if we have a need in rotation, I believe he's earned it. The way he's pitched out of the bullpen, he's throwing strikes. I mean, his last outing threw 4 balls, and I applaud the guy because that was kind of the issue early on. He was not throwing enough strikes, but he's right at that. He showed us that he deserves another shot at it.
I guess I heard this on the Marlins broadcast when you guys were playing them. They were talking about how the changeup is a pitch that they didn't see there in Miami as good as it looked to them. I don't have much history with them, obviously, and maybe you don't have a ton as well, but is that a pitch that has come a long way for him, to your knowledge?
Far and away. I mean, we all know his spin, his curve on a slider, and that's how he strikes people out. But yeah, the changeup, there's been outings where he hasn't had, good feel for his slider or his curveball, and the changeup's completely rescued him. It's got him through. It's really impressed me. It's one of those straight changes that just screams heater, and it's not. It doesn't have a ton of depth. It's got the natural, gravity depth, but he throws the heck out of it, and it looks like a fastball. It's a great pitch. It really is. And obviously we know about his slider. We know that gets the swings, the empty swings, but his changeup's been – it's been a huge help. And that Marlins broadcast, is one of them is my brother-in-law. So he might've got maybe a little inside intel for me. I don't know, maybe.
I'd also just wanted to get your thoughts on Corbin Martin, and just what you feel like he needs to do to kind of take that next step. Cause you see it at times, it looks like it's not far off.
Right. Well, I mean, our message to him was, Corbin, we think very highly of you. Obviously, probably the centerpiece. I wasn't here, but I'm assuming he was one of the main pieces of the Greinke trade. We think he has a tremendous upside. We think he's going to be part of their future rotation here for a while. That's how good we think he is. And we all wanted him to go down and just find his command. Here's the deal. He has a simple delivery, a repeatable delivery. He's got it in him to throw the ball over the plate. He's not afraid of swings. But when you come up here, and it's been a while for him, I mean, he's been hurt. He got the taste again. We got him a couple starts. It wasn't as good as he had wanted. And it really, for us, truthfully, it wasn't as good as we thought it would be. That's okay. He's going to be back, and he's going to be very good for a long time. That's how we see him. So that was our message. Go down, find your command, throw strike one, avoid three ball counts, all the things we harp on. Dominate the first three pitches, and you'll be back. And he took it wonderfully, like an absolute pro. Not that I wanted, not that we look down on guys that, pick up the chair and throw it off the wall. That's not who he is. But he said, I get it, and I'll be back, and I'll be better.
So you're kind of saying the simplicity, the repeatability of it makes you confident that it's just gonna come eventually. Is it's more of a mentality thing, maybe?
Well, it typically is a mentality. I always believe. Yeah, you either can't throw strikes or you don't want to. And I don't think that's him at all either. He can and he wants to. I think he was just when he was here, and he can tell you, he was just trying to be too perfect, and that's not his stuff. Is too good to try to be perfect and just mess off. Getting in bad counts, next thing you know, he doesn't want to walk them. So he's got to give in a little bit, and there's a gap shot, or there's a bloop single. He has the kind of stuff to stand on people's necks and not let them up. He has that, and he knows that, and that's what we told him. And I have no doubts that when he comes back, he'll be better.
Jack Summers.
Hey, Matt, sorry. One more kind of big picture question, following up a little bit on what everyone was talking about. Theo Epstein's consulting with MLB right now, and there was a long interview with him with Bob Nightingale in USA Today. And amongst all the different changes that they're experimenting with, moving the mound back, the question had come up, how come MLB's not considering lowering the mound yet again from 10 inches to 5? And Theo said that... That might actually result in more strikeouts because the low seam fastball is harder to work, harder to hit from a low arm angle when it's at the top of the zone. So I was wondering if that's a little technical for me because I'm not a pitcher or a coach. But I was wondering if you agreed with that or if you could shed any light on lowering the mound, four seam fastball, strikeouts, all that.
Yeah, I think moving the mound back would probably be better than lowering the mound.
Mm-hmm.
In terms of injury, I believe that anything you do differently, with pitchers by moving the mound up or down or back. The pitchers always have the advantage. I mean, hitters are going to have to refigure us out. They're always a step behind, in my opinion, because they have to react to us and what we're doing. Lowering the mound, analytically, it'll give us an advantage. Raising the mound will give us anything we do will give us the advantage until the hitters come around and figure it out. I mean, why is the high fastball so in right now, when it used to be for so long, the down fastball is where you need to live, because hitters, they evolve to react to what we're doing. They finally figure it out. And this is no knock on hitters. It's just it's the toughest thing to do in sports. And then once they get their bat path to hit the down pitch, then we're going to go up. And then they'll start figuring out, okay, we got to hit that. And then we'll go back down. And curveballs were the thing. And then they kind of left, and now they're back. Like, they're always reacting to us, and we're always kind of one step ahead. That's just the way pitching and hitting is. And again, if you have to react to what someone's doing to you, it's going to take you a little bit. And so the person that's on the attack, which I feel we are, we're the ones setting the tone here. And to hit at a time where guys are throwing a billion and that have nasty spin and that throw split fingers. I mean, it's really hard. So if you do anything with the mound, I think it'll help the pitchers more than anything.
Okay, thanks.
All right, everybody, that's it for Hergy.
Thanks, Hergy.
Thanks, Matt.
Guys. Hey, good to see everybody.
Yep, we really appreciate it, Matt. Thank you.
Thank you. My pleasure.
Thanks, Case.
Just hang there. Yeah. Thanks, Case.
Okay, that's right.